And that was the sound of no one yelling at me, which is unusual. I could get used to
that. Oh, sorry, I was muted.
Oh.
Hello and welcome to Cause and Effect. This is a homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign. My name is Crash. I will be your DM or GM for the evening, depending on who you ask. Tonight's episode, Mountain Town. And for it, I'm joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, who has groceries, Ellie, who already took care of groceries, likely, Io, who is a grocery enjoyer, possibly, and Jen, who possibly has partaken of groceries in the past.
Yeah.
My name is Crash, as I've said, but I'm introducing myself again because I'm going to get my groceries tomorrow, so I feel left out. Anyway, what happened last time?
We shopped.
You didn't drop them.
Well, of course not. The shoes, Cavil's shoes haven't run out of charge. Cavil bought so many magic missiles wands.
This is true. Io, how many wands of magic missiles did you purchase? Dear listeners, I tend to edit out silences, but that's a silence. Nine wands of magic. Cavil, what's that in your hand? A wand of magic missile? No!
A whole quiver full. Like, why are you... You know, are you a ranger?
I have
ranger?
A bandolier.
Oh, you have a bandolier of course, because it has band in it.
I mean, remember, intend your puns, you cowards, is the shirt that I own. If you retroactively must intend the pun, do so. Own it.
And if I get kicked out for the show I put on, it's a bandolier.
Oh.
Love this game. Love it immensely. And you already have inspiration, so I can give you nothing.
I do feel like having 9 wands of magic missiles increases your chances of getting thrown out of a venue.
Depends on the venue. Also depends on how many hit points the person has that's attempting to throw you out. I mean, just saying, it's hard to miss. So, yes, you shopped and had some discussion, and at the end of it, you looked at the quests and said, you know, there's this quest here about someone building giant robots in the mountains.
Oh, right.
That
you picked
sounds
that
like
one.
We should investigate. Noted Orkland's naturalist, Nick Tyrannosaurus Dundee. That's not a wand of magic missiles. This is a wand of magic missiles. I will not attempt an Australian accent in order to really give that it's the credit that it's due. So, dear listeners, just imagine that that was an Australian accent.
That's not a knife. This is a knife. That's not a knife. That's a spoon. Ah, I see you've played Knifey Spoony before.
My mind was going there, too. Oh, I'm having so much fun, and the recording is not even at 5 minutes yet. This is wonderful. All right. So I am going to select all of you and right-click and click toggle combat state. Oh, and that removed all of you from combat because I still had combat going from last time. Let's try this again.
Yeah.
Backwards.
Pre-combat.
Beep, 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 beep. Okay.
Beep, beep.
So everyone go to the combat tracker, this little cross swords, and click on initiative. So I'm going to go down through this, even though we're not in combat yet-ish. Ask people what they're doing. That way I don't end up skipping over people, as I tend to do. And it's annoying when I realize that I've done it after the fact. And annoying during the fact to the people who I skip.
Cavil?
Io, did you roll?
I am navigating there.
Okay.
Beth, you are still in GM mode.
Oh.
Good news, the healer is going last.
No. Mech is the surgeon.
What?
No.
Mech is the Civil War surgeon who can remove the limb quickly. Mostly does this for the opponents. But that's splitting hairs or limbs. Mostly limbs. All right.
Mech will not dismantle someone unless she really means it, so.
Okay, the first robot that you encounter is named Number 5.
Oh, number 5! Disassemble!
No, disassemble! No, disassemble! Johnny 5 is alive!
Oops. Uh-oh, something happened.
Beth has left. Okay? And so has... No, no. Beth is here. Eo is
no,
back.
No, Eo is back. Here.
Are you okay?
My computer said no. Randomly, oh, no. For no reason. The screen flickered out, and apparently I was disconnected.
Weird. Concerning.
Mm-hmm. Where a computer says no, Eo says, do you want to rethink that answer?
Restart.
And then points at the 9 wands of magic missile. That is a meme now. It's just going to be a meme here. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, 9 wands of magic missile is definitely going to be a meme.
It's right up there with putting the portable hole in the bag of holding. All right. So your hiring was done for this particular quest by a town council, which has happened before, quite frankly. Looking at my notes here. Dang, where is that? Okay. So the town itself doesn't technically have a name. They just call it the town, but it is a mining town. A significant distance up a mountain referred to as Stormbrew Mountain. Oddly enough, everyone in the town is mostly human, if not all of them are human. It's not a dwarven mining town. Go figure. In any case, they hired you because they're saying that there's someone building a bunch of robots and causing a lot of mischief. What is heavily implied is the person building a bunch of robots is the current mine owner and they'd like to have their jobs back.
Hmm.
Yes.
Going idle. Sorry.
Quite all right. So, at that moment, you teleport into combat. No. Huh? I'm primarily saying that because Beth had to step away. Yes. You do teleport into a town that it is what one might expect from a town that was created out of convenience, where... Hey, we have a mine here. We don't want to hike all the way down the mountain at the end of each night. Let's go to the first spot that's relatively level and build a house there. And you can build your house there. And you build that house there. We've got one path. Let's all build our houses right up against that path. Okay, now we have enough miners that those of you who are like employee number 287, building it further down the path is probably not going to be good for you. So let's make a side path. Yeah, just squeeze between these two houses. That'll be fine. I'll move my fences a tiny little bit. It's okay. It's fine. But there is this one path that goes through the majority of the town with a few side paths off to either side. For a significant portion of the way, the path has a rail line next to it for pushing mine carts, and it leads up and around a corner, ostensibly to where the entrance to the mine is. The mountain goes up way higher than where this town is. You don't tend to usually start the mine at the peak and work your way down. I mean, you can. Some people do. But those are usually major corporations that are destroying the entire mountain, which, weirdly enough, has happened on Earth more than once. At least one time done by the Romans, believe it or not. But that's a side story. The mountain is living up to its name. You cannot see its peak from here because there are storm clouds above you. There is a light rain coming down. There is the rumble of thunder. There are flashes of lightning. Sometimes it's a bit closer than other times. And there are a few people who are napping on the path, outside their homes, halfway out the door of their home. Yeah, just, you know, laying down, not necessarily breathing. It's a very deep sleep. Mech.
Oh, no.
You are first in the initiative order. What would you like to do?
What would I like to do? I guess I'm going to go, like, if I could see people that are laying down and not really moving or seem to be alive, I'm just going to kind of stand over one of them and see if they're breathing.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
Perception check. Okay. Let's see. Perception. Here we go.
All right. That 17. Is a 22. They are very clearly not breathing. Part of that seems to be that they're showing the telltale signs of having been struck by lightning.
Oh, okay. So, wow. Okay, wasn't expecting that. Don't touch these people. You might get a terrible shock.
All right. So, next up, I should probably press the button for begin combat so I can click through and highlight whose turn is next each time. Tex.
I will check the others.
All right. Give me a perception check.
Hang on, there's something I have to check. Yes.
I understand the statement, but will still continue to be amused that I said, give me a perception check to check the thing. And you had to check something before giving the perception check to check. And that's a 15. With a 15, after what Mech has said, that definitely lowers the difficulty. When you go over and check other people, like you've gone over to a group where there's two of them pretty close together. They both are showing signs, like there's char marks. They've got the patterning of it is similar to what you've seen before when you've seen someone get hit by like a lightning bolt spell or something like that. They have clearly been killed with electrical damage.
Okay, and this is killed long enough ago that there's nothing I can do about it?
That's an excellent question.
I mean, aside from like resurrection or...
Well...
Understanding that we live in a magical world where many things are possible.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the risk of sounding cliche, they were like this when you got here. So you're not 100% sure of the timetable of how long they've been like this. You do know that they are not breathing. There does not appear to be signs of decay. So this happened relatively recently, but recent enough that you can bring them back with stabilization somehow. You understand you have magical powers because you are a paladin. You're not 100% sure right now. I would allow
it. Well, I hear the telltale signs of death saves.
You do not see any of them picking up a d20 and rolling it every turn to see if they're still alive. I would allow a medicine check. With a 17 medicine check, there's strong are you with holy magics, but not that strong.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Hobby is currently going through an idle animation with AFK written above her head. Well, Beth is handling groceries, but Beth did write, lay on hands 1 point when it's my turn. So that is a thing that's going to take place, and it is not going to assist. Next up is Cavill.
You know, I actually picked up a very apropos trick. Sorry, Mech, I'm going to countermand your instructions. And Cavill is going to go over and touch. Oh, no, wait, actually, they don't need to touch one. It has a 10-foot range.
You reach out and touch someone. With magic, not physically.
Mm-hmm.
Speak with dead.
Mm-hmm.
And people playing along can check off the Fighting with Foundry on their bingo card, because I was waiting for Cavill to do a thing, waiting, and then I noticed that instead of scrolling down, as the chat tends to do in Foundry, it was saying, hey, you can scroll down now. So I was just staring at Texas' last roll while you'd already clicked that thing for a while.
Yep. Good thing we cut out silences.
And then I put in that I was waiting for a while anyway. Love this game. All right. You grant the semblance of life and intelligence to a corpse of your choice within range, allowing it to answer the questions you pose. The corpse must still have a mouth and can't be undead. Both of these are correct. The spell fail... Oh, both of these are... These requirements are met, let's put it that way. The spell fails if the corpse was a target of this spell within the last 10 days. It's too fresh to have been. Probably. Until the spell ends, you can ask the corpse up to 5 questions. The corpse knows only what it knew in life, including the languages it knew. I will not have them only speak in languages you don't know. I will not do that. Answers are usually brief, cryptic, or repetitive. And the corpse is under no compulsion to offer a truthful answer if you are hostile to it, or it recognizes you as an enemy. The spell doesn't return the creature's soul to its body, only
its animating spirit. Thus, the corpse can't learn new information, doesn't comprehend anything that has happened since it died, and can't speculate about future events. Ask me your question. I'm not afraid.
Excuse me. Very sorry about this, but what happened here?
We were killed.
Okay, that's on me.
No, that is me following exactly what the spell told me to do. Don't blame me. Blame Wizards of the Coast.
What are we blaming?
I just said that's on me.
And I'm saying let's blame Wizards of the Coast and by proxy Hasbro. So technically it's capitalism's fault.
Mm. What have we capitalized on?
Welcome back.
Are you the miners who hired people from Flag or put up a quest to go and investigate the robots?
We sent someone to do that.
What killed you?
A ball of lightning. Two more questions.
I get it. I do get it. I understand why you're like this, but I do want you to know that I'm trying to help you. Avenge you. Something.
Give me an insight check. Even with a 13, the sense you're getting from this is not that they're trying to be deliberately obtuse.
Yeah.
It's possible that what hit them, well, it didn't come out of the blue, because that's a lot of clouds above, but it came out of the gray. They didn't 100% understand what was happening when it was happening.
Who might have wanted you dead?
Ignatius Frankenmug. I love Ellie's comment. What? We're going to address Ellie's comment after this last question. Yes, please continue.
If you know, what might have been the inciting incident for Ignatius Frankenmug to decide that everyone here should die by lightning?
Worked these mines for 20 years. He bought it and kicked us out. And with that fifth question, the magic fades.
Well, that at least sort of sounds like it wasn't necessarily strike-breaking even so much as, I don't know. Strike-breaking is the only thing I can think of that might have, but of course he replaced them all already. But they didn't mention going and trying to, I don't know, break the robot. So what, he just decided to murder everybody? Capel is pacing in the air and gesturing while this happens.
Might be us. He might have wanted them to not hire adventurers.
Yeah, if he found out about it. But wouldn't that have been the inciting incident then?
Maybe? Or he was trying to stop them from hiring adventurers. Anyone? Or something completely screwed up and he had a great big accident and he's dead too.
That's never happened in any of my games.
What, never?
Well, hardly ever. Yes, I'm skipping through.
I know.
Anyone who cares to, give me a perception check at disadvantage.
Perception disadvantages.
Boo.
Well, I rolled a 25.
I rolled a 4, but my adjusted one is 16.
Okay.
Tex rolled a 24.
Oh, yes, wow.
Yeah. I saw Texas roll first, and I was looking at that when EO was like, Calo got a 25. Like, okay, both of you are super awesome, and I'm going to give each of you different information. So give me a second here.
We have to go off into the hallway.
So Tex is ever vigilant for a lot of reasons and is noticing that for a lot of these houses that you see, a lot of these buildings, because not all of them are houses. Some of them might have started off as houses and then were converted for a different purpose because someone made a bigger house, a better house, one where the walls weren't hastily made because you just moved here or whatever. But a lot of them, there's like scorch marks around the door frames. Most of them, the doors are hanging open with people who possibly were running to get away or running out to do battle or something, depending on, you know, which way the corpse is facing. But there's a few buildings where the doors are still closed. And even a few of those don't have scorch marks at all. Some of them, the doors are closed and there's still scorch marks. Cavil, in walking back and forth on this muddy, because still not cobbled path, gesticulating and thinking out loud, is also having their eyes wander in various directions, possibly looking up at the sky, hoping for maybe not divine intervention, but maybe Mo will send a sign, who knows. And that's when Cavil notices that there's smoke, which, you know, lightning strikes. You'd expect there to be maybe a few small fires get started somewhere. But no, that smoke is coming from a chimney.
Well, someone's still at home.
Indeed.
Or at least was killed recently enough that the fire is still going. Oh, sorry. That was a depressing thought.
Are there kids in this camp?
It's not town. A camp, it's a town.
Right.
We're going to go back to the start of the initiative order. Mech, assuming that this information has been shared, so you know what I've revealed.
Right. Well, maybe we should go and see whose house is got smoke coming out of it and see if they need any help.
Okay. When you approach the house that has a chimney that's currently blowing out some smoke, it's not a whole lot. Perhaps it is time to put another log on the fire. This particular building is built very much like the houses, but there is a sign nailed above the door, and in very neat, carefully painted block letters, it says school. Tex.
I knock.
There is no answer.
I try the handle.
Roll for initiative.
The knob.
I'm not doing that to you. You've learned not to.
This whole town is mimics. Doors.
No, just all the doors. That's why some people died in doorways. And the mimics have learned how to cast lightning bolt.
Magic mimics, you say?
Yes. And they're immune to force damage, which is what magic missile does for the listeners at home who didn't know. Okay. Let's take all this, put this over in the AU we're not visiting pile, and go back to what's actually happening. You try the door handle, and it is locked.
Summon a rogue.
Next up is A.
Summon that rogue. Oh, no.
Anyone with a passive perception above 11 sees A go around the side of the house. Hobby. By the way, your character says you're still concentrating on something. Somehow I
have no idea.
Are.
Probably not. Can you deconsecrate me? Concentrate me?
Okay. Hobby is no longer holy.
No! Well, I'm not sure even as a paladin that Hobby's very holy.
Cut to Terryish, who notices after a while that the camera is pointing at Terryish, and they go, honestly, I don't even know at this point. Cut back to...
Yes, thank you. I couldn't figure out which one to tap to make the concentrate go away. Hobby will come and produce, will eye the door and see if there's anything that can be lockpicked on this end, or if it's some kind of bar across the door inside or something. And if there is something that can be lockpicked on this end, she will produce her tools of the trade.
The door doesn't appear to have a lock that is pickable. It's quite possible that this building was constructed simply enough that they just have a crossbar.
Abby will relay, nothing to pick, must be barred from inside.
All right.
She's going to start climbing up to the roof.
Oh, well, in that case, Hobby, give me... an athletics or acrobatics check. I don't care which.
I'll take acrobatics.
That's an 18 on the die for a 28. You say,
yeah.
The player says, I'm going to climb up on the roof. Before the sentence is done, there is a cat on a wet slate roof.
Better than hot tin.
This is true.
Even if Tex would have objected, Abby is off Tex. having used Tex as a playground.
Yeah, probably.
Before Tex has... By the time Tex notices that Hobby is climbing on her, Hobby is already on the roof.
Mm-hmm. Shpoing, shpoing.
Speaking of people After who can get to the roof quickly. Cavil.
Cavil is going to back up against one of the walls, trying to minimize the profile they are presenting to people who might throw lightning from above, and reach out to Magpie's senses. And Cavil is going to send Magpie looking for a magpie-sized entrance.
Magpie initially says, please not the chimney. And then the
DM if someone has to go down the chimney, I'll go down the... Wait, the chimney... you're an infernal bird, aren't you?
I don't like cramped places. This is not a very large chimney. It is more like the small pipe style chimney that one would see on like a small wood stove, like a camp stove or something.
So what we do is we have to tie a little harness around Magpie and lower Magpie down. If Magpie gets stuck, we can bring them back up again.
It's not that Magpie is claustrophobic. Magpie just doesn't like the enclosed space. Hobby isn't afraid of water. Hobby just doesn't like it.
Right.
Okay, but Magpie does fly around and does, in fact, find a small propped open vent that's used in like attic spaces to let the hot air out in the summertime that they can squeeze through.
I think that's where the turn moves off to somebody else.
All right. Mech.
Let's see. How big is this house, cabin, whatever, right now?
School, apparently.
Well, it probably started off as a house and then was converted into a school.
Okay.
One could argue that it is two stories tall, although on the second floor, most people who are of medium size would probably have to hunch over for most, if not all, of the space.
Okay.
That is assuming that there is, in fact, an attic space and they don't just have a few rafters going across to support the roof and have it be open all the way up, which you've seen some designs like that, too.
Okay. We don't know what's going on inside, and we have a door here that we can't appear to unlock at this moment. So Mech is thinking about unhinging the door, and then she'll put it back on later. And then we can all get in, probably.
Okay. Let me take a look at your character sheet real quick.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Channeling my inner Tom, because he always uses that tune.
Yep.
All right, so you have a strength of 20. I am not going to require a strength-based roll to take care of this door.
Okay.
Because you have a strength of 20. However, right. I am going to ask you
Because your heart is pure.
I am going to ask you to make a dexterity check.
Okay. Which one's dexterity? Let's see. There it is.
Yeah, so just click on dexterity, then click check. Normal on the pop-up.
Okay. Got a 17. It's now a 20.
Okay. You disassemble the door in a way where it may be reassembled later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mech was thinking to, like, just pull those little, you know, things that attach the door, and then I can put it back again. Mm-hmm.
That you would be able to do this in a way where it could be put back together again was in doubt, possibly by all present. But you have managed to do that. That you could get
Surgical
through the
precision.
Door. Yeah, that you meant that you'd be able to get through the door was never in doubt.
Right.
But you did not, in fact, Kool-Aid man the door.
At all.
All right.
It just seemed more appropriate to just, well, if we move the door, we can see what's going on inside.
Okay.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. You get in through the door, and you see that it is, in fact, set up like a one-room schoolhouse. There is a ladder against one of the walls that goes up into an attic space where you hear a little bit of fluttering because I forgot to ask Magpie to make a stealth roll. It's fine. Okay. There are some windows along the sides. One of them is open with a soggy kobold half through.
Okay.
That is wonderful.
Okay, yeah.
But only half through because A has realized that after crawling halfway in, they no longer had purchase with their hands or feet to pull themselves the rest of the way through, and the window closed back down on their waist.
I'm going to go over and lift the window, take them up.
A slides the rest of the way to the floor and looks rather embarrassed.
Are you okay?
Only wounded my pride.
Right.
The one-room schoolhouse does have a teacher's desk, if you can refer to a shoddily put-together table as a desk. Also, several other similar shoddily put-together tables with chairs at them, arranged in rows. Rather than having one large blackboard against the wall, there are smaller slates that are sort of like framed together. And there's writing on them that one of them looks like it was stopped mid-sentence. And there's a piece of chalk on the floor.
But are there any bodies?
That's an excellent question.
I mean, admittedly, Hobby is probably going to be peering in a window to determine this or something, but we're having to jump down and come in after everyone else. But that's a question.
When you climbed up, you then heard the sound of a door being dismantled. So you can probably go back down when it is your turn. But it's Tex's turn.
Mm-hmm. Before my turn, can we take a 5-minute break?
Sure. Let me press the button. And we're back. And I believe we paused right before Tex's turn.
Yes.
That sounds familiar.
As a reminder, the dragon has refreshed his breath weapon.
Ah!
Cut to Monty putting sriracha sauce in his tea. He looks at the camera and says, "Why do you keep cutting to me? I'm not even here right now." Cut back to Tex.
"Well, I'm not good at this investigation business, so I'm going to go check the other houses. Call for me if you need me."
Okay. And Tex walks out.
Tex, give me an investigation roll.
Actually, I'm going to do something different.
Oh, no.
Yes. Give me a moment here.
Okay. I don't see that on my sheet.
It should be under features. Does a 12 hit you?
No.
Okay, well, a spear shoots up from underneath the floorboards and totally misses your leg.
Am I still at the school?
Yes, this is on your way out the door.
I looked out.
There is a spear there that someone is trying to pull back down through the floorboards, but apparently it has turned slightly and they can't get it back through the crack that they pushed it up through.
Would you like help?
No, I think I got it. It's just the blasted thing. They do not, in fact, have it.
I can wait here if you'd like.
That's very kind of you, but you're not attacking the town, are you?
No, we are trying to find out who did.
Give me a persuasion check.
I've got a good bonus, but I rolled low.
Yeah, that was a 4 on the die for an 11.
You know what? I'm going to use my inspiration.
Finally! That was a 3 on the die.
Oh, no.
Well, let me roll insight. Okay. Well, they got a 16 on their insight. So in spite of your low roll, they're figuring out that if you were trying to actually hurt them, they would probably not be in a position to make an insight check. Trapdoor's under my desk.
The trapdoor is under the desk.
Can you push my spear back through or pull it the other way?
Yes.
It's stuck.
I will push the spear back through.
From Tex's point of view, the spear is not stuck at all. They just literally could not see how the point of the spear needed to be turned. You turn it a quarter turn in any direction and let go, and it falls all the way through.
Right.
So what is...
I've always liked that, that the trope of the person with the giant hand reaching down and making a tiny adjustment.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Which is pretty much exactly what you do. And the spear just drops down like that. There was nothing holding it up at all. To which there is a clattering and a surprised gasp. All right. So there is, in fact, a trapdoor underneath the teacher's desk. And in the glorified crawl space / storage space below the schoolhouse is a human in somewhere in her 20s, most likely, probably early 20s. And according to my notes, because of course I have to stick with my notes and not just come up with a number and change it later, which would make sense if I can't find something in my notes, but I'm not doing that. 24 children who look like they're anywhere between 5 and 13 years old. It's a crawl space, so they are covered in dirt. Well, it's been raining all day, let's be honest. Probably covered in mud. A few of them have small knives out. The scariest of them does look like they're 5, because a 5-year-old with a knife is one of the scariest things imaginable.
Yeah.
So, did you find what was attacking the town?
Not yet.
Oh, well, I think we'll stay down here a bit longer then. Actually, you know, here, and she hands the spear to one of the older looking kids. I'll be right back. Don't worry. Don't let anyone else down here. I mean, do let me down here. Don't let anyone else down here. They nod and shake their head, possibly to the correct questions or statements or commands. But they've been under a lot of stress lately, so it's not 100% certain. And this person comes out through the trap door, bangs their head on their desk. Even if you moved it aside, they still manage to do that. And stands up, brushes their skirt off, which smears mud more, actually. It's now more evenly spread out. It wasn't a brown dress before, but, you know, whatever. And says, okay, let's step outside and have a conversation.
So I guess we're following her out the door?
If you choose to have a conversation with her outside.
Yeah, I'll just walk over.
Okay.
Hobby may still be on the roof.
It is possible that Hobby has not had a chance to come back downstairs yet, yes. And technically, Cavill didn't enter either, which makes a lot more sense for why Tex had to make the persuasion check. So what Hobby and Cavill see is a young lady stepping out through the front door of the schoolhouse, covered in mud, hair in disarray, followed by a couple of murder bots and a kobold.
I hate to say it, but I don't think Cavill sees that.
Oh, Cavill's still looking through the eyes. Yeah.
Cavill was looking through Magpie's eyes and therefore can't see through their own.
Okay, give me a perception check, though.
That's true. Magpie was fluttering around up there.
Yeah. Which means you'd also be hearing through Magpie's equivalent of ears.
That's fair.
With Herbs 16, have ears.
You did hear the attempted attack and the subsequent conversation. The sound of a trap door opening, the sound of someone smacking their head on something made of wood. You are familiar with the coconut sound of a head hitting wood. You possibly have not done this yourself, but you've been in the vicinity of people who've done it.
I'm sure Hobby has taken a few headers here and there.
In your defense, it was a freshly waxed floor, and it was a hard right angle turn.
I was moving at speed.
And then you weren't.
Right.
That was a right turn, yes. You just weren't expecting.
Actually, indeed.
Didn't expect the mouse to have that kind of traction. Anyway, Cavill does hear all of that through Magpie. So I'm going to temporarily take us out of worrying about initiative tracking because we're going to have a conversation and it feels really weird with having each of you have one turn to make a statement. I feel like that would be really awkward. But once we start moving around again, we'll go back to that. So, you didn't attack the town, but you're looking for the people who did. I'm assuming my dad hired you.
We're the adventurers from the guild.
Given context, I'm going to say yes, probably.
Okay.
Sorry, let me not be a bird.
I have to remind myself that you're adventurers. But please understand, that statement was very, very odd.
Trust me, well, it feels very odd when you're talking to someone, but your point of view is on the roof.
Also, I am given to understand that you're a school teacher. I would think that statement would be routine.
Well, I would be lying if I didn't have part of my job be constantly telling children to not do a thing that I never thought I'd ever see a child think was the appropriate thing to do.
Well, I suspect the difference is that Cavill is not pretending.
She opens her
mouth.
Are
you sure the kids are?
I mean, the weirdest thing that happened this week until the attack was the record is 3 pieces of chalk up someone's nose.
They've done what now?
Condolences.
That is impressive.
Oh, no.
I thought so, too.
I only ever managed to.
She opens her mouth again and then closes it again.
I was a kitten once.
Apparently, some of us prefer to have conversations while on the roof, but okay. Introductions. How do you do? My name is Elaine Miller. Pleased to meet you. My father is Hugo Miller. He's probably the member of the town council who hired you. And unless he came back already, is possibly the only surviving member of the town council based on what I'm seeing out here that I'm not going to talk about in a very loud voice because there are a whole bunch of children who are probably now orphans inside.
Hobby is going to contact member services and update them on the situation and ask how many people with res the Adventurers Guild fields and how much they charge.
They will get back to you on that. But
that's what Hobby figured.
As
yeah.
Well, because some prices are bespoke, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Word
they don't
got
have
out
standard rate.
That for a brief amount of time, there was a group of kobolds who were just resurrecting anyone who needed it until they stopped doing that. And that crashed the resurrection economy for a little while. It's bounded the other direction so far as costs are concerned recently. But that's not something Member Services is telling you right now. That's something that you've heard people talk about since you went back in time to this era. However, with the information that you've provided, they are likely going to be getting some of the therapists that are on call ready to go.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they keep therapists on retainer.
It's not just the adventurers.
Not just the adventurers. Mostly the adventurers. Not just the adventurers. Also, it is quite likely that whatever fee you'd be earning from completing this quest would not be enough for you to resurrect people. You would definitely be doing this at a loss and might not have enough money on you to do it at all. Anyway, so that's the side conversation that Hobby is having with her flagstone. What's anyone else doing? Congratulations. You have a way to speak to the not dead. Which may or may not give you better information, considering she's been hiding underneath the schoolhouse the whole time.
I presume if I were to go down to check on the children, they will possibly be scared of me.
There would be screaming, crying, and possibly several attempts to stab you.
I'm not sure that could work, but I won't.
I'm not sure that would work either. I think someone would get hurt. I don't think it would be you.
No, it wouldn't.
However, you
are extremely unfortunate.
You are very scary looking, so I would probably not send you first to comfort a 5-year-old, no.
No, I understand that. That's fine.
Think of us, I would send my fuzzy sibling or magpie. But that's beside the point.
Fuzzy sibling waves from the roof while muttering things into the flagstone.
I'm assuming magpie is the bird that you were.
Yes.
Those are words that came out of my mouth in that order.
Magpie is my dear familiar.
Ah, I think I've read about those. What happened here was there was a lot of thunder and screaming. And at the first sign of trouble, I locked the door and had all the kids hide in the crawl space with me. And we've been there long enough that a lot of them really need to pee.
Maybe we should put people back in their houses and clear out a house for the kids to pee so they don't see people.
Yeah, you would have to do a lot of clearing of the streets. This is not something that Elaine has to tell you. There are a lot of dead bodies out here.
Does this building have a bathroom for the kids?
We moved some boxes and used a bucket.
Fair enough.
Good idea.
So you're adventuring types. What did this? A evil wizard? Blue dragon?
We haven't been here long enough to know.
It wasn't here when we got here.
So just did all this and ran off?
At the moment, that seems the prevailing likelihood.
It came from the sky. It can't have been a dragon. A dragon would have probably taken some people away to eat.
Also, it's very obvious when a dragon has been around. The Tex environment tends to have been dragoned.
I see perception checks just rolled by Cavil and Tex. What are we looking for?
I don't know. I didn't roll it.
Okay, it's saying now for Cavil, but I think that's the same error we're getting in the GURPS campaign. But there's definitely one for Tex. So Tex, what are we looking for?
A cart or a wagon?
There's a few.
I intend to commandeer one.
Okay. It's easy enough to do.
I will start respectfully placing bodies in it.
And for the record, because you also have a strength of 20, I am not going to roll for picking up bodies or moving cart. Those are things that you just do.
For what it's worth, I'm familiar with the necessities of hiding in a small, not entirely pleasant to be in living space, and I have a cantrip for cleaning up.
That might be useful. Thank you. As if the robots weren't enough.
I don't think the kids should see me.
Not, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. The other
robots. No, it's fine. I the other robot?
Robots.
Robots, yes. 2 total. Yes.
No more.
No?
The ones that we're supposed to be investigating.
Yeah, so the town's history, some old guy owned the mine, and I don't even know his name. He's always referred to as the owner. And we all worked here for some manner or another. A share of the ore went to the owner, and we got to do, well, most of the ore went to the owner, and we got a cut that we got to use for our own stuff, for the work. But the mine was always owned by somebody else. Well, turns out they sold the mine. We weren't getting as much ore as usual, so I guess they just cut their losses or whatever. And the new guy said our services were no longer required.
Would the new guy be named Ignatius Frankenmuth?
Who names their child Ignatius? I ask you.
But fire, yes, mages. People who like fire?
Somewhere a long way away, Sanctimonious Long is sipping tea and not acknowledging the camera at all. Cut back to. Exactly, Ellie. Exactly. When I have my notes open on my screen, they cover up most of Discord, but reveal enough that I see when someone has posted something new, so I know to switch to Discord. So as I was talking about Sanctimonious Long, I'm just seeing Ellie has posted something. Ellie has posted something.
Whoops.
And then I switch and I'm like, oh yeah, exactly. Great minds think alike. So, yeah, apparently he had this great idea of just, you know, using the robots because, you know, they don't sleep, they don't eat, mindlessly follow orders, keep us out of the mine if we try to go have a conversation. You know, when you showed up, we were hoping you'd be able to, you know, do some type of, you know, I believe the phrasing that was used was conflict resolution.
I have heard that.
It turns out... You go.
There's certainly something to resolve.
Yeah.
There's always a chance that he blew himself up and it simply came and blew up everybody else as well. But if that's not what happened...
Yeah.
There's the sound of a cat ticking claws on a roof.
To drop out of character a little bit and just provide the information, Elaine will tell you that Flag was contacted specifically because that particular guild, there's more than one adventurer's guild that's out there, but apparently Flag is starting to get a reputation as a guild that doesn't always just go in and kill the baddie and then collect the payment. Sometimes they actually reach, you know, some type of mutual understanding. I wonder what groups of adventurers are doing something like that.
Shuffling our feet here.
I mean, sometimes you do have to go in and just kill the baddie, but Flag doesn't always hit first and ask questions later.
Right.
And some measure of strength was needed because the robots tend to follow orders and keep people away can be interpreted in a certain way that is somewhat threatening. But the council didn't want to basically just hire a bunch of murderers.
I'm sorry, this might be a little bit distressing. I used magic to speak to one of the victims. He said that Ignatius was the person he would have thought wanted to kill them.
Well,
why?
To be honest, I never met the man. I can't tell you what he's like, but he just fired us all. It's how this town made its livelihood. Without things getting resolved, we'd all have to just leave. Most people in town don't have nice things to say about the man because of that.
So he decided, most likely, to kill a bunch of civilians so they couldn't try to riot against him and his mining robots?
I don't know. There was... rioting wouldn't have worked. I mean, everything out here we own. It's the mine that's owned by Ignatius, and we can't get in the mine. There's robot guards out in front of it. Any rioting we would do would only hurt us. So this
I'll
entire
stick
time,
around for a little bit to help with what needs doing, let's say, and then I think we should be investigating the mine. Sorry, I keep talking.
No, I stopped because what you were saying was important. Meanwhile, oh my gosh, Ellie.
Bleak humor is a thing.
I don't believe that I am at a point right now where I can carry that particular tune, so I will not be singing that particular set of improvised lyrics to go with that particular tune. Now, this whole time, it has been raining. The rain has been picking up or letting off, but it's been raining the entire time.
I'm so wet and I hate it.
Yes. I would not be surprised if a lot of your gear was coated in a layer of some amount of waterproofing. But because you are not, in fact, in a spacesuit. Yes, Ellie, I've been wet the whole time. because you are not in some sort of spacesuit, it does start to leak in after a while, if through no other effect, but just the humidity. The humidity is 100%, thank you very much, which means that your fur eventually becomes 100% wet. There is a peal of lightning followed immediately by thunder that is quite close, way closer than most of the more recent lightning strikes. What I'm going to say Tex notices without a roll, because I'm not going to say Tex has wandered off. Tex has appropriated a cart and is, in fact, using it to, as respectfully as possible, load it up with the bodies of the fallen. And so Tex is a little bit distance away when the lightning strikes nearby and, in fact, did not originate from the sky. It originated from around the corner.
Tex is on the flagstone almost immediately. Heads up, get the teacher back underground.
Will do.
Fire in the hole. All right. You need to head back inside. Dangerous here.
As soon as you start saying that, Elaine books it.
Good. Good.
And
inside?
Yes. I am going to say that Tex was likely somewhere around here. And I'm going to say this building right here is the schoolhouse with cat on top, bird in the attic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless you had the bird coming out, which is possible.
Matt, can you put this door back fast? Yep. She picks up the door, slides in the little things that hold the door, moves it a few times to make sure that it's, you know, going to work, and then walks in.
Okay, so I'm going to say that that's what your character's doing before we go back to looking at the initiative.
Okay.
Come on,
so you are currently armed with the door.
Armed with the door.
Okay, you took Magpie out of the attic. So Magpie is whistling a tune that sounds similar to the song, I'm coming out. They do want the world to know.
Given that they have, I believe, one hit point, I'm not sure they should want the world to know.
All right. So Mech is putting a door in place. You are not going to likely have the time to put it back as neatly, but you can definitely prop it up and say it was like that the whole time. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Which means we are now going to the next thing, which is a ball of lightning with cartoonishly triangular black eyes coming around the corner near Tex. By the way, I did not create this creature. This is something from Tome of Foes by Kobold Press. And it deliberately talks about how the eyes look silly.
Excellent.
Yes. And I need to look something up. Okay.
Well, it's got a 19 dex.
Who, what, where?
This creature has a 19 dex.
Yeah, it does. You're right. So it also
has at its character sheet. That's just the decimal on its initiative.
It's not showing me the decimals, which is odd. Okay. But yeah, that does make it go before Tex. It also has an ability called Eye of the Storm. The slow storm is surrounded by a 15-foot radius windstorm. The storm imposes disadvantage on ranged weapon attack rolls and wisdom checks based on sight or hearing within the area. The winds extinguish open flames, so that candle that you were holding, Tex, it's been blown out. I'm sorry. You were all prepared to sing Silent Night. Sorry, never mind. I'm referencing a thing. They extinguish open flames and disperse fog. A flying creature in the storm must land at the end of its turn or fall. I know I'm revealing things here, but the wind is blowing debris around in a way where Cavill would, after flying for so often, know that flying near that would be a bad idea. Each creature that starts its turn in the area must succeed a saving throw or take damage because it's throwing lightning everywhere. The storm's area is difficult terrain for any creature other than the storm. So it comes around the corner and it is going to attempt to hit Tex with a lightning bolt.
Okay.
It does not hit Tex with a lightning bolt. And did I put that circle there?
No.
Okay. That is a big circle.
That is a 50-foot radius.
No, 15. 15.
Oh!
It's way smaller. I appreciate
it. I have time to say I don't know how to get rid of it.
Unfortunately, I have GM privileges, so I should be able to click on this and delete it. Or I'm just put this over there with the rest of the measurements. There we go. For the record, that light that it's emitting in Foundry is a 15-foot radius.
Oh, clever.
Yes. I thought ahead.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. So, It attempts to hit you with a lightning bolt and manages to roll a nat one. The lightning just goes directly into the ground. It goes straight down. It is going to make a second lightning bolt attack. This one is also going to go towards Tex. Oh, that's better. That's better. Does a 16 hit you?
It does not.
Okay. Well, it's going to make a third lightning bolt attack.
It's got a few.
It can make up to four in one turn.
Ooh.
That is a second nat one. Ellie was lamenting that in spite of... Ellie was lamenting that in spite of her high AC, I was throwing very powerful creatures that had such high bonuses to hit that I was still managing to damage Tex regularly, which, you know, Tex also has a ton of HP, so it's worked out at the end. This is what Ellie wanted to see, and we're getting it. highest roll yet. We've got an 18.
Don't want to hit me.
That's its turn. So, Ellie, you are starting your turn within 15 feet of the slow storm.
Yes.
All right. So you are going to need to make a dexterity saving throw, DC 18.
Missed it by that much.
All right. You take 9 lightning damage.
Okay.
All right. And now you get to do things.
Hooray. I'm sorry. I'm looking for something.
I mean, we already got that spot on the bingo card. While you're looking that up, I had a moment of panic because I had a commoner stat block open for Elaine's rolls. Commoners are CR0.
Oh.
The slow storm is not, but I have both of these character sheets open to the point where they're overlapping a bit.
Oh no.
So for a brief moment, I thought that I had put the stats in wrong.
Oh no.
Which would drastically affect a lot of things, like bonuses to do hit rolls. Like, oh, is that why it's missing? No. No. It's not. It has the correct CR.
Wow.
Thunderous Smite. You are going to attempt to hit it with Chainbreaker and do a Thunderous Smite to it at the same time.
Yes.
Where there's lightning, there's thunder. It needs
that
to
is
learn
a
this.
13.
I think a 13 is not going to hit it.
13, alas, will not. You're both just... That's a 12. This is the Dexter and Mandark slap fight.
It really is.
Yes. Both stat blocks are capable of doing lots and lots of damage. However.
Action surge.
Tex is like, that's neat that you can do 4 attacks in a turn. Look at me. I can. That's a 14.
Whiff, whiff, whiff.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a 27.
There 27. We go. The 27 will lightly graze it.
Because it's made out of lightning?
Lightning.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Unfortunately, it's immune to paladins.
But is it immune to Chainbreaker?
It is not immune to Chainbreaker. That's 9 points of Chainbreaker damage. And...
It has to succeed on a strength saving throw or be pushed 10 feet away from me and knocked prone.
You know, a thing that is neat about Dungeons & Dragons, lightning damage and thunder damage are different damage types.
Well, of course.
And I appreciate that because one's sound-based and one's electricity-based.
Uh-huh.
But it's still amusing that you're hitting a literal lightning storm with thunder damage, and it has to take it. Granted, you're doing 4 points of thunder damage.
If it failed, it's safe.
Oh, if it fails. Yeah, I need to make a save.
Mm-hmm.
To make a save.
I will be.
For once in my life. That is 24, so it makes
at 24,
it.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I am, however, going to shove it 5 feet back.
It is technically off the grid, but it never was on the grid to begin with. You are just barely in its range. For its AoE.
As long as nobody else is.
All right. Q, everyone else running forward.
And I actually am going to move. Oh, no. I actually really don't want to do that. I'm going to place myself here.
You were thinking that it might use lightning bolt and have it hit multiple characters if you moved to that spot.
Yes.
Wise. All right. So that is Tex's turn.
And now everybody in the town knows where Tex is.
A is going to move 5, 10, 15, 20, 25.
Good spot.
And you know, the neat thing about this spot is A just barely has line of sight to the slow storm.
Nice.
Hiding behind a building mostly, which means
Hobby
time
approved.
For psychic
blades
attack.
Blades!
And because A is an old school kobold, A has pack tactics. Because pack tactics. Which means I get to roll at advantage. Because I keep forgetting that.
And they are both terrible rolls.
They are both terrible rolls. The highest roll is, with the bonuses, is a 16. It's fine. It's fine. A is there for support anyway. The second roll is an 18. Still doesn't hit. And oof. But that means I don't have to worry about being in the situation where, okay, how do I want to do this? With that said, it is Hobby's turn.
Hobby is checking, what is my range spell attack number anyway? Well, okay. Hobby would like to run across the roof, jump over the alleyway onto the next roof. Is this a possible thing to do?
I would require an acrobatics roll. There's actual rules for jumping that I cannot be bothered to look up, and they're way too realistic for my taste for a fantasy game with dragons and stuff.
Would a 19 do it?
Yes. A 19, you easily jump from rooftop to rooftop.
1, 2, 3, 4. Can I get one more?
One more what?
Square. That's 5, I think. 1, 2. Is there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 3, 4, 6. Just trying to see what my range is here. Thank you. Thank you. That would be, yeah, a ranged spell attack. What is my ranged spell range? I'd like to try and hit with let's switch.
Well, it's 30
to the
foot.
Other.
You are 30 feet away because I'm not going to deal with the height difference for this.
Okay. It's 30 feet of something that, well, maybe if I actually click on it, it'll tell me.
Most attacks that are meant to be ranged attacks are able to go 30 feet. What are you
60
trying
feet.
To do? Ray of Frost. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get him, Ray.
No. No, apparently I will not. Unless that succeeds on my attack.
I have no idea. Does not. Well, if you are attempting to attack raindrops, you have successfully made a line of snow that is very quickly melting into the mud. But for the briefest of moments, it looked very pretty.
Well, that's nice and all. Bonus action time. There.
Shadow Blade. All right.
Can't attack with it, but I've got it.
Okay. Next up is Cavil.
Cavil is going to go alight on this roof rather than the roof that where there are innocents in that building.
Now, if only you can convince the slow storm to be going down the center lane of this town, so you have a Wild West thing where everyone's shooting from rooftops. Oh no, the slow storm is played by Clint Eastwood. Run! Run!
Now, what's the range on that? 60 feet. What's the range here? 30 feet. Cavil will give a bardic inspiration to Tex as a bonus action. Why can I not use it from my over there, because it's gone somehow. The actual working one went missing. Lovely. Fighting with Foundry. No, I am not making the roll because that's not how bardic inspiration works. Tex, you have a bardic inspiration.
Thank you.
And as an action,
you cast summon lightning rod on the slow storm's location.
No! No, no, no. I was more thinking of hitting the lightning with a rod of psychic force.
But which wand of magic missile do you intend to use? Oh, wait.
No.
No, you said something different. Also, I can't double click on your character when I'm using the wrong thing. When I'm in a measuring tool, I cannot open your character sheet. Instead, it wants me to measure your character sheet, which is not the same thing.
Cavil raises their microphone and emits an ear-piercing shriek that coalesces into a lance of psychic energy.
The lawyers for several hair metal bands are summoned out of nowhere and immediately hand you cease and desist letters for infringing on their copyrights for recorded music. Or that would happen if that wasn't an entirely different game. All right.
I'll use Mage Hand and give them wedgies.
Sorry. DC 18.
Slowstorm seems very intelligent.
How do you pronounce this? Rolothim's Psychic Lance.
Yep. Actually, DC, I think Cavil pronounced it
saving throw. A 15 does not do it.
So unless it wants to do a legendary resistance, it's going to be incapacitated until the start of my next turn.
It would like the ability to do a legendary resistance.
Oh, it doesn't have one?
It doesn't seem to have a legendary resistance.
No actions or reactions for it until the start of my next turn.
What's the damage?
I forgot it did damage and didn't just incapacitate things.
It's like, as a bonus...
Six damage.
You can have little A 26 damage as a treat.
Honestly, the incapacitating would be extremely potent for us right now.
You damage it and its pride. fortunately,
casts the big grown-up version of Vicious Mockery.
Fortunately, you did not reduce its movement to zero, or doesn't capacity does that too? Nah, I'm checking. Can't take actions or reactions. Okay, so incapacitated means it can still move wherever it wants to move, which I don't think that's how I would define that in real life, but okay. They're totally incapacitated. Good, so they should be over the... No, they ran away. You incapacitated them. Yes, and they ran away. But you incapacitated them. And then they ran away, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But this basically means that this floating orb of lightning does not fall to the ground because you do not reduce their movement to zero.
It just wobbles.
Yes. It wibbles wobbles, but does not fall down. All right. I'm assuming that's Cavil's turn?
Yes.
Okay. Mech.
Okay. Mech is going to engage her rage protocol and start going over to where Tex is so that we can get this thing done.
Okay. So if I use a measuring tool...
Mm-hmm. It's going to take a while. I know.
Well, let's see how far you can... Let's see how far you go. If okay. I can quote the learned sages known as the Matchbox 20.
Fast movement is on Mech's character sheet.
Yeah, you've got a movement speed of 40. Which okay. means that you can walk to...
Right about there?
You could be right next to Tex if you want to be. That would be within the lightning damage. You could also be here, which is just outside of it.
Okay, but if I get into the lightning damage a little bit, maybe I'll charge up and it'll be fine.
That is...
That is such a barbarian thing to say.
It is, yeah.
There's artificers that are raising fingers as if to say something and then thinking about it and then just putting their hand back down again, like the GIF. So, yes, if you want to be right next to Tex, you can be right next to Tex.
Okay, that's what I want to do.
All right. I cannot move your character if I'm on the measuring tool. This has been established. I have said this before. But yet, okay. I still try to do it. There we go.
There we go. Okay.
That's where you want to be?
Yep.
Okay. You could get closer, but it would require you to use your action to do a second move, which means you wouldn't be able to attack.
Okay.
All right.
Fine.
Okay. Next up is the Slow Storm's turn. It attempts to take an action and finds that it's stunned by some enthusiastic singing. So it tries a bonus action.
No, stunned is a different condition.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It attempts an action. It fails. It attempts a bonus action. It might not have any, but also fails. So it attempts a movement. 5, 10, 15, because it flies up into the air. 20, 25, 30. At this point, Mech and Tex, would either of you like to make an attack of opportunity?
Yep.
Yes.
Working on it. You can go first.
It flew 5 feet up, so it's still within range as it flies over your heads.
Okay.
We'll shove it.
All right. That 21 is going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's already been established. It has no int intelligence bonus.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's see.
All right. I'm going to apply the 14 chainbreaker damage from Tex hitting it with a hammer. You would think hitting a living storm with a hammer made of metal, when you yourself are a robot, would ground the ball of lightning in a way that everyone regrets. But that's not how the game mechanics are written for this creature. So we're just going to go with this.
Okay.
Incidentally, I move it 5 feet down.
Oh, that's nice.
Meanwhile, Mech, if you could also make an attack roll.
Okay, an attack roll.
Yes. So in your inventory, you've got a Great Axe of Intimidation and a Mace of Smiting.
Let me find that.
So,
yeah,
it's going to be under weapons, the bottom under of the weapons section.
Also, Tex just did more damage.
That's fine. Weapons.
So if you're looking at the little black tab sticking out on the right-hand side of your character sheet, the very top one is a gear. You found weapons? Okay, wonderful. There we
found
go.
Found it, yeah. Uh-huh.
Now go ahead
and roll that at advantage.
At advantage? Okay. Here we go.
Nice. We'll take the 24, not the 3.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Hit the damage button.
Yeah. Hit the damage button. Okay. Normal or critical? Which is
normal?
Normal? Okay. Didn't do very much, but it did something.
It did 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
It takes this damage. It flies back up again, so that's 35. It helps if I have it selected so I can actually move it. 40, 45, 50, and then it flies up another 10 feet to be up close and personal with Cavill. And
it has a 60-foot move speed.
It has a 60-foot fly speed, yes. It's called a slow storm, which is why it goes twice as fast as everyone else. That's how it's written. This is not my creature. I'm just using it to my advantage. It can't do any attacks or bonus actions or anything like that, so it's just going to stare menacingly at Cavill. Next up is Tex.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder or your lightning.
It stares at you in a way that would be very, very frightening if you weren't a high-level adventurer.
How far up is it?
It's, I would say, 15 feet up. I'm going to say that's how high up the rooftop is that Cavill is on, roughly. They're slanted roofs, so it depends on where you are.
Okay.
Tex throws Chainbreaker. No.
No, Tex channels Divinity.
Peerless Athlete. As a bonus action, you can use your channel Divinity to augment your athleticism. For the next 10 minutes, you have advantage on strength athletics and dexterity acrobatics checks. You can carry, push, drag, and lift twice as much weight as normal. And the distance of your long and high jumps increases by 10 feet. This extra distance costs movement as normal. I'm concerned that I keep seeing measuring coming from Hobby during Tex's turn, because
I'm just being ready for things.
Well, yes, I realized that it was you getting ready for your turn, but my brain was parsing it as Tex just used Channel Divinity to become better at athletics. Tex is going to throw the cat at the lightning storm.
The cat is not near Tex, otherwise that would be fine.
All of your fur would stand. You'd become a long hair cat with your fur constantly poofed.
Just a plushie. Just a plushie.
You did Peerless Athlete, so you could just. Oh, you're trying to like dunk a basketball. Only the basketball
pretty much.
Is the slow storm, and you're using Chain Breaker instead of your hands. The 22 will hit. The 19 will also hit.
Just strike. Strike.
Okay, that is 24 points of distracting strike damage. Kind of, sort of.
And I shove it 5 feet to our left. Actually, no. I shove it directly to the left of me.
East or west?
West.
It goes west. There.
That's a sound it makes, yeah.
I was hoping to get it right next to me.
Well, it's still hovering 15 feet above you. Well, 50 feet up. So technically 10 feet above you.
Sorry, I meant in the square right next to me.
So you wanted it here?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. All right. Is that your turn?
That is my turn.
All right. A's turn.
Oh,
A's time to shine. What?
Oh, yeah. And the next attack against it has advantage.
Nice.
I mean, the next attack was someone who has pack tactics, but also yes.
Yeah, but it would have had disadvantage because of the range.
Are we sure? What's Psychic Blaze?
You said it
Psychic
had
Blazes.
An aura.
Oh, you're right.
The aura did things.
You're right. I was parsing it differently than how the rules are actually stating it. Because I was thinking, well, yeah, arrows would get blown off course, but this is a psychic blade. It doesn't have any mass to it. But if there's enough debris flying around, I could make sense that that would be disadvantage also. But on the gripping hand, because I get to say on the gripping hand, the rules as written don't specify what kind of ranged attack. It just says ranged attacks. So in any case, it would have been advantage because pack tactics, but then not advantage because disadvantage for ranged attacks, but then advantage again because tex. Long story short, that's a 21. I'm going to roll damage now. Apply.
Done.
That was 7 points of damage plus sneak attack damage because sneak attack damage. That's 12 points of damage. How does A want to do this? You'll never know because A does not do lethal damage in this case. A thought that went well, so A is going to do it again.
Nice.
That's a dirty 20.
That's a good number.
7 points of damage. All right. A is helping. Next up is Hobby, who's also going to help.
What Hobby would like to do involves a cat-like leap from the roof. And then basically running up to what is effectively behind it and doing some stabbity with the blade.
Okay. I'm going to require 2 acrobatics checks because you're jumping off a roof and then you're jumping at something that's hovering 10 feet above you.
I mean, if necessary, she could possibly run and climb up Tex and then it would only be hovering like, you know, maybe 5 feet above, but
that would definitely be the RP reason why you're able to get up that high. But I'm still going to require 2 acrobatics rolls. The first one to get onto the ground. A 22 does that easily. Yes. And then make your second.
Well, 13.
Hobby jumped down and jumped up again. A 13. You are going to. So here's what happens. You run.
You're never going to keep Hobby down.
Well, no, we're not going to keep Hobby down. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. And then you use your last 5 feet of movement, because I'm not counting the jumping down. Gravity helped you with that.
Yep.
To run up the side of Tex, who by now is used to it and probably just braces for it instinctively.
Yep.
One could argue
that Tex has her shield held out so Hobby can jump off it.
You have a long-standing subroutine that basically is saying, if Hobby approaching at speed, then present shield.
As a
this particular function, This particular function is labeled ladder. So Hobby leaps down, runs across, leaps up the shield and jumps. And remember those cat gifs that we were sharing earlier?
Oh, no, not quite.
It's wet out.
You do.
The shield is slippery.
When you get to the top of the shield and do your leap to get the remaining distance to be within melee range of the slow storm, it is the tiniest of little hops. You are the white cat from the GIF earlier.
Obviously, I should have asked Tex to give me a boost with that shield. Oh, well.
So at this point, I will say that your positioning is, with all of your movement expended, right underneath the slow storm.
Okay. Well, in that case, if I can't reach it with my shadow blade, fine.
You ray of frost straight up and roll a 24.
Yes.
Cut to a few miles away from the town. This beam of radiant frost goes straight up into the clouds.
Hobby?
Yes. Do I get to roll damage? Oh.
I mean, you hit, yeah. But what does Cavill have to say about this?
I forgot. Oh.
It's just a normal hit, I presume.
Yes. That I don't believe that was a crit.
A mere 17 damage.
I have to fulfill my duties as a GM, so I can't be searching for this GIF, but I'm thinking of Godzilla using that blast going straight up into the sky. Also,
I figure what happened was she sort of slipped, did the hop, landed in a kind of superhero version, swung up her free hand, you know, the all fours, arg, swung up a free hand and went zot.
You are aware of something. That ray of frost should have done 17 points of damage, but it seems to have only done 8.
That was a good ray of frost. It doesn't like... It is strong against frost. Hobby is going to swear at it in her native tongue. Yes!
A will be like, such language! It's... those are not for my little kobold ears, and I'm definitely not writing some of these down for later. A does in fact have a small notebook out and is writing in it with a grease pencil.
Oh my.
Attempting to, because the notebook is immediately getting wet and the grease does not stick to wet paper.
Whoops.
Yes. Oh well.
So I use graphite.
I believe that is Hobby's turn.
I don't think I've got any bonus actions that I can bonus on this, so...
All right.
You could disengage and go away. No, wait, you used your movement.
I used all my movement. It's okay. Tex is here.
If you were a scout, you could basically do the World of Warcraft thing where you just bounce backwards 15 feet. I think it's 15.
Less.
I have to look it up. All right, so... Cavill, since the slow storm moved, you are the first person to start your turn within 15 feet of the slow storm.
All right.
So that's going to be a dexterity saving throw, DC 18.
I can open my character sheet.
19 will do it. And half damage or no damage? Half damage, so you just don't take
all
damage.
All right.
You have managed to dodge a lightning bolt. Congratulations.
Careful, sort of turns the dodge into a roll, slides off this roof.
For the record, the houses continue to extend down that way. I just didn't bother to draw them because,
oh,
quick making map.
Well, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And... slides off the side of the roof and alights on this one, which is not in the middle of slow storm.
Okay. So that's your movement.
And since this worked so well last time.
Well, it's the chorus. You got to repeat it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just click on that button for making the intelligence saving throw. That is a mighty 6. That's a lot of dice. 23 points of damage to the slow storm. It doesn't like that, but that's an it problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else you care to do? It occurs to me that now that Ellie has, well, Tex technically has an inspiration die, Tex has not needed an inspiration die.
No, I think I'm good.
Okay.
All yours.
Yes, Ellie. I would love it if this is the death metal version of We're So Quiet.
It's obviously the cover where the chorus is shut up, shut up.
Uh-huh.
Well, if I remember correctly, in this era, it is a death metal version. It's loud and screaming. It's in the future when it actually turns into like a lullaby or something.
But there's then the covers of it, which have turned it back into a, you know, variant that's the very loud and screamy and yells, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Clearly is a tune designed to last throughout the ages. Speaking of lasting mm-hmm. throughout the ages, Mech, it is your turn.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is go as close to this thing as I can.
Okay. So
right about here.
I will... Now, it is mm-hmm. hovering 10 feet above you, roughly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you're going to need to make a leap. Okay. In my head canon, Texas shield is still there.
Okay. There so I'm going to try that then, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're mm-hmm. going to need to make an athletics check to athletics do a check. Flying okay. leap.
Okay.
With Tex... Okay. Tex didn't have to do this because Tex used a channel divinity. I don't believe you have levels in that.
Mm-mm, no.
No.
Okay. So
I'm moving this over here just so
normal.
I can see your characters.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm going to go with
but
normal.
But it's technically the slow storm is right above where Hobby is. So.
Oh, I think I did that wrong.
No.
I may have done that wrong.
Well, that's an athletics check, not an acrobatics check.
So I did that wrong. Let me try again. Let me try again.
The bonus for that is higher. So okay. I'm going to say you are not actually, unfortunately, you are not able to do this, but you're instead of, you know, gracefully leaping off of the shield to attack, it's more uh-huh. like you are trying to push the planet down to get higher up.
Okay. That makes
but
sense.
But you are not, actually, you're using an axe.
Yep.
Because we've been playing for over 2 hours, and it is after 9 p.m., I am going to start saying rule of cool for things, which is to say, your axe has some reach. With a 13, okay. I'm going to say that you can reach a bit further with a two-handed battle axe than
okay.
one can handle with a one handed magically conjured blade of shadow. So mm-hmm. yes, I would allow okay. you to make an attack by doing this.
Didn't go very far. Oh no, it did. It's an 18.
An 18 is just not enough. You need a 19 okay. or higher.
Huh. Okay. Should I roll again?
Rule of cooling it. No? You make your second attack while you're still airborne. You're going snicker snack.
Okay. So I do attack again? Is that correct?
You may do a second attack, yes.
Okay, here we go. It's not so
and
good.
That's a 13. So yeah. I'm going mm-hmm. to say that because you're planning this in a way, you would not have been trying to land on Hobby.
Right. But
so I'm going to say you land here hard.
Jump over, like yeah.
Yeah, you go down into the traditional superhero landing. It is very hard on mm-hmm. your knee joint.
Right. We'll fix that later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It looked cool, but it was too
It looked cool. Okay.
All right.
It is probably done then.
The slow storm's turn. It takes a moment to think about its life choices. Because it once again cannot do any actions or reactions. It can just sort of hover there. So you know what it does? It flies 60 feet straight up and disappears into the clouds.
Okay.
Hobby is hissing.
We are now out of combat.
You know, there's a way I could try to go after it.
Please
not
don't.
On your own.
Yes. What she said.
Or rather, we'll have try to make it come back.
Oh?
But I'm not going to do that because we've been playing for over 2 hours.
Yep. It's not dead yet.
Although apparently also, it's not happy.
Your it's movement speed is 30. Is that also your fly speed?
Yes, but I have the telekinesis spell.
The GM has some concerns.
I do not grab the slow storm telekinetically.
I have another character who has no concerns about this whatsoever and approves highly, but the GM has some concerns.
Hobby will give it a parting wedgie with Mage Hand.
It's made of lightning.
It's, yeah, it doesn't have a...
So?
Doesn't have it. Yep.
You are reaching for a garment that it does not have.
Can you just yank some of the lightning bolts?
Whether or not it does raises different implications. All are troubling. But that is where we're going to end it for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. This was hilarious this evening. Thank you for fighting my... I want to call Slow Storm a knockoff Pokemon with those triangular black eyes. Black like a doll's eyes. A very weird doll.
Why would you make the doll's eyes black when you can make them, you know, have pupils and stare at you with a weird fixed...
I don't know. I just hunt sharks. I don't even know why I'm here. This is a mountain. There aren't any sharks here. Except maybe sky sharks. I'll see myself out. But before I go, does anyone want to plug a thing?
Use Mom Writes Books, ElizabethMcCoy.com. You can also... They're ebooks, so you can use Hoopla or ask your library to get them in, and so you can use Libby on them. And I think that's pretty wonderful because I still get paid, but you would get to read it for free. So, and speaking of wonderful things and books.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Yep.
Okay, yes. My website is Book of Jen, and it does have some books on it. I put a lot of different things in there whenever I have the energy to do so. You can find that at bookofjen.net. And I'm also the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, and that you can find at shatteredsoulstone.com. I'm hoping to put one up maybe later tonight, and we'll just see how that goes.
And speaking of other things, we're going to see how it goes.
Socket. Because he's complaining right now, and he's got food in his dish, so he can't be complaining about that, unless he's complaining
yes, he
can see the bottom of the bowl, which we know he definitely wouldn't do that, because that's not a thing that cats do. But also, if you like this podcast and want to hear more of them, you can find all of our podcasts at aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel. You can also follow us on the Fediverse. It is aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel, and we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Where you can help us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying,
let's see, the shoulder joint connected to the rest of the body, and the elbows connected to the upper... I don't know. I don't study anatomy. I just build stuff.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
I mean, studying some of your anatomy close up if that was a deliberate monster.